Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. Guys, that's Monday. Season 5, Stuff Podcast Show. I just decided to go ahead and just make this a brand new season. Why? Because it's a new beginning. My mom always told me, she's like, hey, every new thing you do, like when I was in school, she'd be like, you know, every new school year is a new beginning, is a new slate, whatever. So I am making this my clean slate, and I'm making this my new beginning, because I took a hiatus for a while, as I know some of you have noticed, and I had to take a break for a minute. A lot of stuff was going on. COVID got me, y'all. I was cool like the first couple of months into COVID. You know, I even did some episodes involving COVID, but you know, after a while, it just got to your boy, and I decided, you know what, I need to take a step back. I need to calm down and just regroup. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's exactly what I did. I just handled some things with life and, you know, kind of contemplated what I wanted to start doing. Put some things on hold for a while. Even my art kind of backed up for a little bit because I needed to just empty and think and redo everything again. And for my mental health, I thought it was very important that I do so. Now, during that time, a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of things have happened. And of course, through the course of this new season, I'm going to go ahead and talk about those things, give you guys some entertaining stories. I'm not going to tell you my plans only because, you know, those things are always changing. And, you know, the second you start talking about your plans, things happen. So the only thing I can tell you is that every week, of course, you know, every Monday, again, back to the same formula as before, I'm going to be putting out the podcast. The episodes will range from 30 minutes to 60 minutes. And whatever pretty much the vibe is, what the flow is, I'm not going to sit here and force a podcast episode. That's like one of the, not force a podcast episode. I'm going to do an episode every week. But what I'm talking about is I'm not going to sit here and just like force a podcast that's an hour just because I'm like, oh, every episode has to be an hour, whatever. That's the beauty of this whole free form thing is you can do what you want. You know, you can do whatever you want. It's not a big deal. But I do want to have a minimum of at least 30 minutes on every episode. And depending on how much I feel like talking, I'm going to have a max of an hour. And if the subject's really hot on and popping, then it's going to be longer. Of course, I'll give you guys a heads up if that's the case, especially like if I do an interview and stuff like that. Interviews are still not off the table, by the way. I'm going to be doing those. A lot of things have as far as the podcast is concerned, are still moving forward. And I've still got a lot of plans, a lot of big plans, life plans, not nothing to do with the podcast, but life plans. And when those life plans come, you know, into order and kind of settle down, more podcast stuff will be made available. So that's kind of where it's at right now. But for right now, 30 to 60 minute episodes, a good interview here or there. If there's somebody that you guys want to hear on the podcast, let me know. Or just even anything that you guys think you guys want to hear me talk about. As you know, I always open the floor up to that. Go on to the stories on my Instagram page because that's where I talk to you guys the most. Leave your answers in the stories because, you know, I like to engage you guys and talk to you guys on there about certain things. You know, if there's a subject that pops in my brain, I always like going to stories and be like, hey, what do you guys think of this? Because, you know, you guys come up with some really good content that I can go over. And that I could talk about. It's not always, again, not always just what I want to talk about, but it's things you guys want to talk about as well. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, guys. And so, oh, real quick reminder, for the podcast, I set up a Patreon page. This is like the 86th time I've attempted to do a Patreon page, but I'm actually wanting this podcast to go somewhere. It's why I keep coming back to it. But I would love you guys' support, in supporting the podcast. If you go to patreon.com/thestuffpodcastshow, that is where you can, become a subscriber. And you guys will have some exclusive content. What I will start doing is having some patron exclusive episodes, like live episodes that I will do there. And also the highest, some of you guys who are, subscribers too will have the opportunity to join me on a Zoom, call, not call, I guess. It's almost like a Zoom episode, where everybody who's a podcast, fan will be able to join me on Zoom and hang out with me on Zoom. We can have some conversations and talk and hang out and chill a bit. And it'd be something cool and fun. Just something I want to try out with the community and everything. So yeah. So that's where we are with that. We got a good episode coming at you today. We're gonna talk about, of course, I work for the California Department of Motor Vehicles, so of course I've got some ridiculous stories to talk about there that I'm going to go over. And I'm going to go back a little bit to my comic book roots and take a playbook from my man David from the House of Darkner podcast, Jive Talk. And he talked about, I guess there's a new Superman movie that DC's thinking about coming out with a black Clark Kent. I got some opinions. So we're going to talk about those there. So hope you guys stay tuned and hope you enjoy the show. I'm perusing the internet at night like I usually do. You know, I'm on my TikToks and my Instagrams. You know, they say it's bad for you to be on your phone late at night, especially when you're trying to get a good night's sleep. But, you know, I don't listen to that. Anyway, I'm perusing the Instagrams and I come across this kid. This kid's called Evan with a Dope Beat. Okay, he's an 11-year-old kid. I didn't do too much research. I mean, he's probably from, I don't know where he's from. I'm not gonna lie. This boy got a full-on computer set up, a full-on DAW, which is the program that you use to create music, and everything. And this kid, at 11 years old, is making fire trap beats and hip-hop beats. Based on some artists that he's heard. Now, I don't know about you. I think this kid is, you know, probably plays by ear, probably some kind of music prodigy or something, because the beats this kid is coming up with is nuts. At 11 years old, I was not sitting up in my room playing, making up beats. I was sitting up messing with my action figures and playing Power Rangers and reenacting episodes of the Power Rangers with all my action figures and in Batman the Animated Series. That's what I was doing. Okay. That's what I was doing in my room at 11 years old. This kid, however, has a full on setup inside of his room and he is making just pure unadulterated flames. And I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open. And I'm just stinking amazed at what this kid can do. You know what? I'm gonna stop talking. Let me go ahead and give you a bit of a sample of what this kid does. Okay? Give me. Let me show you this. Hold up.
Yo, Rilo Rodriguez. I just cooked up this crazy beat for you. I used this crazy guitar sample and reminded me just like the style beats you that you rap on. This came out crazy. It's one of my favorite beats by far. And I hope you guys like this one. I used a snap instead of like a clap. Let me know what you guys think. It's the 11-year-old producer, and let's just run it.
Evan with a dope beat.
Yeah, so how insane is that? 11-year-old kid sitting there making beats. And it's pretty cool, too. Going back, sorry for the sound quality. I tried to, you know, buff it up when I was when I put it on for you guys. But that's the best I could do. If you can, go on to Instagram. I believe, again, it's called Kid with a Dope Beat. And this kid is crazy, man. Like I said, 11 years old, making beats, and, you know, and he's fully sponsored, too. I mean, that video that I had you guys listen to, or no, not that one, the latest video that he put up on his Instagram, he actually got seen by Timbaland. And as we all know, Timbaland's one of the tightest beats rap producers in the game right now, in R&B. And he got recognized by Timbaland. Timbaland sent him a Beat Club MIDI controller for free, you know, sent him a bunch of merch. And of course, the kid's sporting it because he's smart. And, you know, let me tell you something. If this kid keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to mess around and become one of the youngest producers in the game and be the youngest producer in Beat Club. So, you know, that's just my prediction. I mean, the kid is insane. And I can't wait. I'm going to keep following him on Instagram because I like to see, you know, kids grow and things like that. And if I don't know if he's got any formal training in school or anything like that. But if he does, that's awesome. And if he doesn't, I'm sure he probably will go to school for some formal training. And once he learns that, he's going to be even more insane because he's going to be applying what he's learned from that into his music. And now you could tell with some of his beats that they're a little simple, a little elementary, but for what he's doing and what he's putting together, it's very clear he has a very clear understanding of what he's doing and what he's trying to put together. It's very clear, very focused. And I can't help but appreciate that. Now you probably wonder why are you sitting up there looking at people making beats. I make beats just for fun. I love R&B, and I like some rap, and I like lo-fi beats, jazzy type beats. So I make that stuff for fun. He uses Fruity Loops, and I use the same thing. And I'm slowly kind of like building my own studio just to do that. Hopefully soon I'll be able to make a beat for my own podcast and hopefully be able to do that soon. But that's why, you know, I ran across that. So if there's any producers that are, you know, looking around, check out this kid. Again, I believe he's called Kid with a Dope. Let me see. I just said it. He's good. He's good. He's going to go places if he keeps it up and he stays focused. But I hope at the same time, too, that the fame that he's getting on the social media doesn't go to his head. So much so to the point that he forgets to still stay being a kid. A lot of times I think these kids get in social media and get all this fame. They tend to grow up faster than they need to. And that becomes a problem. So I'm hoping that he'll be okay. And that he'll just enjoy his life, you know. Just enjoy everything. Anyways, with that being said, go ahead and check out that Instagram. Check him out, and hope you guys enjoy that. Again, I believe it's called Kid with a Dope Beat. Kid with a Dope Beat or something like that, man. I just had it. I'm terrible. 11-year-old producer. He calls himself the 11-year-old producer also. Even though he's 10. Evan with a Dope Beat. The 11-year-old producer. So I said he was 10 earlier. He's 11. So, yeah. He's sick. Go check him out on Instagram. Right now, this kid's got 27,000 followers. Now, as of 2 days ago, he had 20,000. So, he's already getting a bunch more followers, which is really cool. So, yeah. Check him out. And, yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments. You can check out the Facebook group or send me a message on Instagram, the Step Podcast Show. Also, too, give him a shout, too. Just say, hey, you're making some cool stuff, you know, whatever. Evan, if you end, I'm gonna tag you. If you end up listening to this podcast and you hear it, we'd love to get some feedback from you. Maybe have you on the show sometime just to hear how you do what you do, woman. Yeah, check him out, Evan with a dope beat. The DCEU is coming out with or considering creating a new Superman film with a black Superman. Now, my friend Dave Wilson from Jive Talk, House of Darkner, already kind of broached this topic. See, being the Superman fan that I am, I had to go ahead and add my 3 cents in this particular situation, because I think it is garbage. It needs to be addressed, though. And I think the more Superman fans speak out in some form or fashion, hopefully the people at Warner Brothers will understand that this is not a smart move. So I went on a news site. This quote comes from a Nigerian fantasy writer who also works for Marvel Comics, Nnedi Okorafor. I hope I said that right. And he said something that really made all the sense in the world, and I think it's spot on. It says, blackwashing white characters is not a step forward and will bite us in the backside down the line. A black Superman is a lazy, sad, useless idea. We need new stories, and we can't be afraid of the extra work it takes to gather new audiences. Dead on. Now, you guys know that I don't hop into the whole race baiting thing. But this unfortunately bodes to that. It's ridiculous. I think it's disrespectful. I think not only to the creators that have already created the character, it's also disrespectful to the creators who have, guess what, already created a black Superman. Thanks to the multiverse, there are two characters that are black Superman. Now, one of those I don't really lend to. That's the Superman that is, I don't know much about it because that's how disinterested I am. But my boy Dave talked about him in his podcast. But he is a Superman that actually, a black Superman who was actually ends up being the president of the United States. And I think from what I remember, that was something that was created during the Obama period of time. So that was a little bit political driven and all that. So I kind of, you know, shied away from that version of Superman. But the version of Superman that I really appreciated is Val Zod. Now, I think it's to take Clark Kent and make him black is disrespectful, one, to the characters who created, the people who created the actual character of Superman, and then the creator of Val Zod. Val Zod is a very great story. It's a really good story. And I appreciate the new take on that character. Now, if you haven't listened to my friend, again, Jive Talk, who he talks about Val Zod. Val Zod is pretty much, let's just bring it down to a nutshell. I encourage you to go look it up yourself. But he's pretty much the reluctant Superman, the reluctant hero, who is the adopted brother of Clark, I believe. And he didn't want to be Superman. He's like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to go down this path of violence, trying to, you know, be a hero. It's just going to lead to nothing. And I'm not about that life. I want to live my own best life and do what I want to do. I want to fight in other ways. But he had to pretty much take up the mantle And he became the black Superman. And this is a Superman that is in the multiverse continuity. So it's not, it makes sense. Now, this is not to say that me being black, this is not saying that I don't like the idea of a black Superman. I have no problem with it. But when you take a character and blatantly change that up, just for the sake of hashtag wokeness or enlightenment or whatever fake activism you want to do on social media towards the world or whatever, that's a problem. And it does not lend to good storytelling. In fact, it lends to laziness. And like this writer said, who actually works for Marvel, is lazy and is going to bite you in the butt down the line. And one of those ways that it bites you in the butt is by people not taking it seriously and going to go see it. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose money if you do this. Because that is not Superman. What it also is, too, is a matter of disrespect. It's extremely disrespectful to Henry Cavill. This is the man who's currently now taken on the role of Superman. And as far as I'm concerned, is really Superman incarnate. He was ripped out of the Jim Lee pages and Dan Jurgens pages and placed in our eyes in real life. This dude is Superman. As far as after Christopher Reeve, it's Christopher Reeve, Henry Cavill. This guy is Superman. Hands down, zero questions. I won't talk about it. That is what it is. And to just say, you know what, Henry, we're good with you. We're going to go ahead and make Idris Elba. Yeah, that was released today. Idris Elba, the black Superman. That's dumb. That's dumb. Besides, Idris Elba was already the black Superman. He was black Superman in Hobbs and Shaw. So we already got that. We don't need that again. Okay. And by the way, Hobbs and Shaw was a great movie. I enjoyed it. It was mindless action and 100% pure fuel testosterone with zero storyline. And it was great. And I loved it. It was mind numbing. It was wonderful. In my opinion. But that's what we got. Idris Elba, this idea of putting Idris Elba. No, miss me. Miss me. I don't want that. Get out of here. If you're going to do a black Superman story, it needs to be Val Zod, or don't do it at all. It's a bad idea. Do not do it. You will lose the fan base. You will lose more respect as a company because, you know, with little respect that you guys have already, you guys got Shazam under your belt. You guys got the first Wonder Woman movie. You guys have Aquaman. Okay. Shazam and Aquaman, both great movies. Yet two movies we don't want and didn't ask for. But they were good. They were good. You don't give credit where credit's due. Okay? But we didn't ask for them. We didn't want them. We didn't need them. The second Wonder Woman movie was outright trash. It was garbage. At first I watched it and liked it. And then I had my, you know, the Prime Council. It was garbage. It was a trash film at the end of the day. Had some good points, bad points. But overall it was garbage compared to the first film. So right now, all they have is the first Wonder Woman film and the two other movies that no one asked for, but were nice. And they're making the second Shazam movie right now. It's going to be a dang on shame if the only thing that can hold up the DCEU is Batman and the Shazam films. And coming soon, Black Adam. If they go through with this, this is going to put a nail in the coffin. In my opinion, this is going to put a nail in the coffin as far as respect for the DC Extended Universe. Because nobody wants that. No one wants a black Superman that is Clark Kent. Okay? You could do Steel. You could do Val Zod. Steel, unfortunately, I think at this point, you could do a Steel film. I think Shaq ruined that. And I don't think at this point in time it's relevant. I don't think... It sits well in case in point with that. He's not even in comic books right now. So they would see that and they would just be like, oh, he's Superman. He's a black Superman in a metal suit. They wouldn't take that seriously. But Val Zod, you could take that. That's a brand new story that you could do whatever with. You could tell that story and it'd be something different. People feel represented and it's great. And he's not Clark Kent. It's a completely different character. Do that. If you're not going to do that, don't do it. Don't do it. There's no point. And it's a pure sign of disrespect to Henry Cavill, the creators of Superman, and the creator of Val Zod. if you do this. And you, I mean, I'm a huge DC fan. That's what makes it so sad. I'm not one of those pompous, you know, fans where DC could do no wrong and all this your stuff. DC's movies are just not it. Suicide Squad wasn't that bad. I didn't have that big a problem with it. I didn't have a huge problem with Suicide Squad. In fact, Suicide Squad 2, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. Wonder Woman 2 was garbage. Outright horrible. It's just this whole Superman idea and the ideas that they're coming up with are just extremely detrimental. And DC fans should really speak up on what they would like to see instead of leaving it in the hands of Warner Brothers. Marvel has done a great job of that. A person stood up in the audience. If we go back to Marvel, just real quick, and I hate comparing DC and Marvel because they're so markedly different from each other, even though DC tries to be like Marvel, they're so markedly different from each other. But it shows how awesome Marvel actually is in listening to their fans. The Zemo cut. When that dumb scene in Falcon and Winter Soldier where Zemo's in the club and he's dancing, we got like 3 seconds of that. 3-4 seconds. The fans saw that, ate it up, and said, oh, we want a Zemo cut. Oh, boo. Not even a week. And we got it. They listened to their fans. And they got it on loop on YouTube for like 2 hours or something like that. So ridiculous. Somebody pulled that. Another good example is in conjunction with Falcon and Winter Soldier. A person in the audience at a convention stood up in the crowd and said, hey, when are we going to get our Bucky and Falcon buddy cop movie? And the immediate reaction with Kevin Feige's eyes lit up and said, oh, that's such a good idea. A fan came up with, you can say what you will. You say, oh, Kevin Feige came up with Falcon Winter Soldier. That was in plans, all right? No. A fan came up with that idea. Okay? A fan came up with that idea. Now Kevin Feige and the whole producers, you know, took it and made it great. You know, now we got our new Black Captain America. Great. But a fan came up, put that idea in his head. Okay? So they listened to their fans. DC, movies, Warner Brothers, y'all need to do the same thing. You really need to do the same thing. And these writers who are in DC catering to the movie aspects of Warner Brothers, y'all need to stop that. For real. Y'all need to stop. Okay, take what you're doing on TV, because your TV stuff, and this is what's sad too, your TV, the Marvel, DC's TV stuff is better than their movie stuff. And that don't make no sense, except for Batwoman. That's a garbage show, dear Lord. And Legends of Tomorrow. Get that out of here. Swamp Thing, Titans, Stargirl, you know, The Flash, even though The Flash has been terrible for the last couple seasons. Let me just say, I still enjoy the show. But it's a terrible show. I enjoy it. I like it. But it's a trash show. Let's just call it what it is. Supergirl, outright woke garbage, in my opinion. That Supergirl, I'm not going to get Supergirl because I'm going to mess around here and get hated on. But I don't like Supergirl. And I'm just going to leave it there. But as a whole, Their TV stuff is closer to comic books than their movies are. And it just, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. So, anyways, no to Black Superman. Hashtag no to Black Clark Kent. I think that should be a thing. Hashtag no Black Clark Kent. And let's tell the stories of characters that we already have at our disposal and just start making some new stories, some little one-off cool movies. And let's just do that, okay? Let's stop trying to be woke and just enjoy ourselves, have a good time, and tell some good stories, huh? This is the next segment of my show that I like to call DMV Shenanigans. As you guys know, if you guys have been watching the podcast for a while, and those who are new to the show, I work for the California Department of Motor Vehicles, and I come across a plethora of situations on a regular basis. working at this place of business. Now, fortunately, now where my, you know, how my job is, I don't deal with the public as much as I used to anymore. I don't have the one-on-one contact. The aspect of my job now does not allow me to do that, which is glorious. And it is wonderful, and I love it. Not even really management can say that much to me, which is great. They just look at me with sad puppy dog eyes, knowing they can't ask me for no help because my job does not include them telling me what to do or controlling certain aspects of things. I don't think they care for that too much, but it is what it is. But what it does do, I'm set in a certain place in the office where I get a huge purview, an observance of all the things that happen. All of the customers, all of the yelling, all of the arguing, all of the everything. And I can see firsthand all of the DMV shenanigans that goes on and the stories I can tell. So I've got some other stories too that I, you know, tell from the past as well. That's one of a few that I'm going to tell right now. Yeah, so there's going to be quite a few. So I did this segment, I think I want to say last season, or the season before, actually, but I never, you know, got back to it because I didn't want to be talking about work. But now, you know, there's a lot that's been happening, it's been going on. So I want to share some of those things with you, some of my pet peeves, some of my things that gets on my daggone nerves. Now, one of the hugest things about DMV is their lack of 100% consistency. Those of you who go to the DMV, I'm on, since I work there, there's a sign that you as the general public do not see. And then there's a side where I completely agree and I'm down with you guys at. You know, I'm down with the customers and their feelings on this. One of those big things is filling out 100 forms for the smallest thing. You know, I think that's ridiculous. That wastes a lot of time and it's unnecessary. As an employee, it's the lack of consistency as far as procedures and what we want to do and what we need to do as employees. And in fact, I think that it lends itself to a lot less and a lot less effective customer service for the customers, because then it makes us look bad, make us look stupid. You know, it's a trip. One of the biggest things that's been going on, of course, is during COVID-19. People have lost their ever-loving minds during this pandemic, and it is understandable to a certain extent. However, don't bring that crap here to my office, okay? Don't do that. People not wanting to wear masks, people not wanting to speak up. That's my favorite thing. And in fact, I'm going to tell a story. Let me tell you something, parents. If your children don't want to drive a car, don't make them drive a car, please. Don't do it. It makes for a lot of bad situations. It makes one for terrible drivers, which are your children, who didn't want to do in the first place. Okay, who didn't read the books, because you know full well, don't none of them kids read the daggum instruction book that we give to them. They don't read it, okay? If they do, they read about 4 pages or the first page of every chapter. And if they read the first page, they'll probably don't even read the first page, they'll probably read the first paragraph. I know they don't be reading it, okay? They don't. And so now you gonna bring them in there and force them to drive when they really don't want to. That's a recipe for disaster. Don't do that. Oh my goodness. And also too, you know, if your kids are driving these vehicles, guess what? Y'all need to let go. You guys really need to let them go. Stop clinging on so tight. You know, let them get off the teat for a little bit, please. Like, you going to the DMV and answering a question for them every time we ask them is ridiculous. Perfect example. Head outside. We do this thing where we have to go through the line and we have to first ask the questions for COVID. Okay. First question is, you know, hey, in the last 14 days, have you been to a medical or have you had symptoms of COVID, cough, difficulty breathing, blah, blah, blah. You answer yes or no. Second question, has the doctor advised you to self-quarantine? Okay. Or have you been in a place where you need to self-quarantine for the last 14 days? You need to answer the question. Let me tell you something. I've asked these adults and these kids these questions. My favorite is when you ask the question and then they look at their mom. And it's always their mom. They never bring in their dad. It's never their dad. It's always their mom. And then they look at their mom like they don't know if they've been sick over the last couple of days. Or like they don't know if they've been asked to self-quarantine. Do you live your life? Do you live your life? Do you know what you're doing? Are you awake, young sir? Are you awake? Like, have you been observing your life? Do you know what's going on? Look, why are you looking at your mama? Answer me the question, please. I'm asking you. Okay? Yeah, I ask you that in my mind. You ain't fit to drive. You can't answer a simple question. So the kids look straight at their mama, and their mom's like, oh, they're fine. Yeah, no, none of those questions. We've already gotten the vaccine. First off, I didn't ask you that. I don't care if you took the vaccine. You could still get COVID-19. You still get dadgum disease. I don't care if you took the vaccine. Never mind to me. I didn't ask you that. So don't ask your children's questions when we're asking them. Because what we're doing is we're trying to test the competency of your child. Okay? We're actually, and you know, it's probably part of the reason why they don't like that too much. Y'all's parents don't like that too much. Because in reality, it's gauged to see how well you've raised your children, to see how smart your children are. Because if your kids can't answer a question and they're looking dead at you, what's that saying? Is your child dumb? And if your child's dumb, that's partially your fault, isn't it? And then, now you're getting busted out. And you don't appreciate that. The ego's been bruised because now your child has made you look stupid. And your child has made you question your parenting ability. I think that's part of the reason why you don't like that too much. So, going back to the story, Ashley chopped that, looked at his mom. I'm like, dude, don't look at your mama. Answer the question to me, sir. No, he's already gotten, I asked your child the question. Please, can you please let your child answer the question? Then I get the dirty look. Okay. So they answer the question finally. Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah. Dude, you need to speak up. I can't hear a word you're saying. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. If I ask you a question, young sir or young miss, you need to speak up so that I can hear you, okay? You need to do that. Yeah. Looking down at the ground like they don't know how to interact with humans. You look up at your friends, and you look up at me. I'm the person who controls your destiny at this point. I am God now. I am a God almost at this point, okay? You need to pay attention, all right? So now they're standing in line. Parents are sitting there. We have a drive test appointment. 30 minutes. Okay. Do you have your permit with you? Do you have the insurance? Do you have your registration with you? No, we don't. That's in the car. Why in the world would you leave that in the car? That was specifically in the directions that we gave you when we first gave your child the permit that he didn't deserve, that he barely passed. Okay. And we told your child to read the information in there. Yeah. So wasn't that information on the tablet that, you know, or not the tablet, on the permit and the little pamphlet that we give you that on the test that your child almost didn't pass? It sure is. Why is this stuff in the car? Why isn't it in the car? What made you think that was okay? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. And then they'll turn to their kid. Okay. They got a driving test at a certain time. Okay. They got a driving test at 10:30. First off, they come, they're instructed to come 10 minutes before. They always come 5 minutes before. And then they forget their stuff in the car. And then immediately mama want to have the kid go to the car to get the permit that they forgot. No, boo, it don't work that way. Your kid needs to go in so that they could check in, or else he ain't going on the test. And you need to go get the permit. Since you want to run his life and put him in this situation, you going to go ahead and get it. Okay? While your child goes ahead and checks in. And that child better pray that permit is current. I've had parents outright literally complain because, one, the child's permit didn't expire, and they purposefully probably didn't tell their parents because they didn't want to do it anyway. But the permit expired, and now they got to go to the computer. They got to do the whole process over. Check your child's permits. If you're going to force them to drive, make sure all their stuff is on point, please. Because guess what? They are going to have to do it again. They're going to have to, not the test, but they're going to have to fill out the application, do the whole process. And you might have to pay, depending on. Okay? So do that. I have had parents finally come inside with everything. And again, behind the counter, you're asking them questions. Hey, so did you check out the information in the permit? Are you aware of the regular driving rules of the road? Not looking at you while you're talking. I'm like, excuse me. Hi, right here. You need to look at me while I'm talking to you. You know, and again, mama dipping in. Well, he's fine. Yeah, he's perfect. So what do we need to do? Mom, I'm not talking to you. Okay? Be quiet. I'm talking to your son. Now, you get two kinds of parents in this type of situation, okay? When you tell them you got to be quiet, I'm asking your child, because they're driving the motor vehicle. They're the ones going on the test. They're the ones who we are testing to see if they have the ability to drive a dangerous metallic motor vehicle weapon, okay? This thing can kill people. Okay, so the two types of parents comes in to where you either get the parent that realizes the error of their ways and it's like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you should answer the questions, Michael. Yeah, answer those questions. Yeah, and then they finally step back and they let us do our jobs, which is wonderful. And then you got the parents, some of the mothers or fathers who are like, oh, well, he knows what he's doing. I'm not asking you. Are you going on the test, ma'am? Well, no. Are you going to be a part of the, are you giving, administering the drive test to your child? No, then he needs to answer the questions. She needs to answer the questions. Okay? Thank you. And then they give you the dirty looks. Now, I personally have not experienced, I get that sometimes, but most of the time I'm of the, get the parents who are like, yeah, who get it? And they're like, yeah. Another coworker of mine says, no, I always get the dirty look. I always get the stink face. And I'm like, oh, wow. And they say, well, because you don't get it as much, Ian, because you're a guy. You know, you're kind of telling them what's up. And they get it. And they're like, okay. But as a woman, when you tell them that, it's different. You know, because I think, and I said, oh, that's kind of interesting. Because I think in some ways, I think when a woman tells another woman, hey, you need to let your child answer the question, it's like, oh, now you're questioning how I'm taught, how I'm raising my kids and what I'm doing. I think women take offense to that a lot more than when a guy does that. They take that in a whole different context. You know, don't tell me how to raise my kids. I know how to raise my kids. I'm not stupid. You're not going to tell me how to raise my kids. Go on to Instagram now. Because you know they didn't went on Instagram now. They ticked off. They hot. Okay. They can't wait in the lobby anymore because of COVID. So now they got to wait outside. So they're already ticked off. So now they got kicked outside. They're pacing and mad. So now they're going to be going on their phone. They're going to make up a quote. A hashtag, don't tell me how to raise my kids. I didn't have you around. Do you pay my bills? Do you pay my child support? Don't tell me how to raise my kids. Then they're going to go on Facebook and share it to Facebook at the same time on Instagram, you know, and they're getting all ticked off. And then they tell friends looking at it on Instagram, like, what? Why you put that quote? What's that happen? What that mean? Girl, let me tell you what happened. This chick. I said, chick, you can't say the other word. This chick at the DMV trying to tell me how to raise my kid because they wouldn't answer no questions. Would you believe she got an attitude? Girl, you serious? Yeah, she was. They go off on this whole tangent. Because you didn't just prove to them that their child is stupid and they shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car. You know, your child is lazy. Your child is stupid and they're lazy, unfortunately. It's a grim reality of most of the generation. They're lazy. Instant gratification. Right now. You know, they don't want to learn nothing. They don't want to do nothing. And we just exposed you in front of everybody. And you don't like that. You don't like it. Listen, don't be those parents, okay? When you come to the DMV with your child who you forced to learn how to drive, okay? Let us do our jobs. Let us answer their questions. Because at the end, it's them. It's not about you, Mom. It's them. Okay? Let them answer the questions. Let them go through the whole thing. Let go. Let them let go. Let the hand go. They'll be fine. Okay? They'll be good. Okay? Don't answer none of their questions. Let them be responsible for their own stuff. They want to be grown. Some of them want to learn to drive. So if they've done that, they've expressed that, let them go in and handle that whole situation on their own. Let them learn the rules. Let them follow them. And learn, and just let us do our jobs, please. And for the love of God, bring money. You know how many times I had people come up in there and we go through the whole entire transaction. I'm like, okay, the total is going to be $47. What? I didn't know I had to bring money. And I just look at him, glare. You serious? You going to come to the Department of Motor Vehicles and don't bring no money. This boy, I one time had a kid come in there. I went through his whole transaction. His new ID, everything fresh. He brought his documents. Mommy gave him his documents and everything. But mommy didn't give him no money. So I had to cancel the whole thing. I'm sitting there, I said, and I legit said, probably should have said, did you really not bring any money, sir? Blows my mind. Just stupid. I'm stupid. Maybe the parents realize this, and that's why they're answering all their questions. They're trying to cover up. We don't know. I don't know. Okay. Now this particular segment is probably going to get me some hate. I don't care. You come up to the DMV, be prepared, please. Read your stuff and be ready to go because we don't got time. Okay. We already don't want to be there. Okay. We don't. And when you come in and you're acting the way you're acting, it just makes it harder. I don't care if you got the vaccine. Your vaccine means nothing to me. It doesn't. Bring your stuff. Be prepared. Please. Okay? Please. Anyways, I got more stories to tell, and I'll tell those on another segment of DMV Shenanigans. Hope you guys enjoy. And that is today's show. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 1 of season 5 of the Stuff Podcast Show. If there is any questions, comments, feedbacks, concerns regarding anything with the show, please leave them with me on Instagram. You guys know that is the way I love to interact with you guys, and it's the easiest one for me. So please do so, as long as you do so with love and respect. If it's cool enough and I enjoy it and I like it, hey, you never know, it might end up being on the next episode of the podcast. Okay? So again, a quick reminder, I have a Patreon page, the Stuff Podcast Show, patreon.com. Or actually, let me flip that. Patreon.com/thestuffpodcastshow.com. If you guys subscribe there, support the show. More improvements and everything. I really, really appreciate it. Otherwise, continue joining me again every single Monday. You're going to get 30 to 60 minute episodes and of just great content talking about food, life, love, movies, entertainment, all of those fun things. So, anyways, I will leave you guys this week, and I will see you guys next week on the Stuff Podcast Show. Take care, everybody.